In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are continuing with Volume 24, August 6th, 1928. Okay, good. The wonderful thing about this light that we're entering into is little by little, the darkness of that we're in because of our fallen nature, because of the human will, because of Adam's original sin, the light is getting brighter and brighter. This is the most beautiful thing about our faith, is Jesus is bringing us into this new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II prophesied. It's a new and divine way of holiness that St. Honorable de Francia talked about the little daughter of the divine will, Luisa Picaretta. And Thursday, Ascension Thursday, you know, we've done this every year, had this vow on Ascension Thursday to give to Jesus our human will so that he in exchange can take that to heaven and give us his divine will. This Thursday, it's going to be a little bit more powerful, it seems. The Lord is, really manifesting his love in a way that's more understandable this year than last year, and he wants us to begin to live this new and divine way of holiness. We have the Rounds book, you know, the from Easter to Pentecost, Easter and Pentecost, but I like to continue to read it in the traditional way. It's all the way up to the Feast of Christ the King. And to when you keep on reading, you know, from Easter all the way to the Feast of Christ the King, these rounds, it is re-entering into the divine inheritance of the Father. And it's so beautiful. Every day the Lord expands our capacity to understand just a little bit more. It's each day. It's a little bit more. The dawn, as Jesus says, the dawn of that new day, the dawn of a mystery, of this gift of the divine will is rising, and it's getting more and more understandable. The darkness that is around us just seems to flee, because of what God is doing. And you'll hear this, in just today's reading, about this light, this darkness that we're in. We have been redeemed, you know, Christ redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary, which she was with Jesus on Calvary. And, the new Adam and the new Eve, have led us into this kingdom of redemption. And now Jesus says, now is the time for the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the fiat, the kingdom of the third fiat, the kingdom becoming on earth as it is in heaven is very, very close. So everything that, you know, we know, you know, we've heard of the 3 days of darkness, the illumination of conscience, the miracle, the warning, these things have to happen in the order, the sequence. We have no idea, but we know that God is ready to change everything, to bring us into this this new and divine way of holiness. So what we hear in Volume 24, August 6th, 1928. Oh, this is a great day of transfiguration. And this is what Jesus says on transfiguration. Okay, He tells Luisa that the saints were transformed. He says the children of the divine will are going to be transmuted. There's more that's coming. This abundant life is going to be manifested. Okay. And so she says, I continued my abandonment in the fiat. And again, this abandonment is what the Lord is looking for. He says, when I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't given it to the world yet because he can't find enough souls who want this more than anything, more than, you know, a devotional life. That this is what we learned. We've learned that devotional life from the saints for the last 2,000 years. And now Jesus says, I want you to abandon everything to enter into the divine will. It's like what the prophets of the Old Testament did. When you read the book of the Acts, what happens is Jesus says, the apostles and the presbyters, the priests who knew the Old Testament, basically, as Jesus said, they knew Moses, they knew what Moses was saying, and they believed in Jesus. They followed Jesus. So the apostles, disciples, and the presbyters, the priests, began to proclaim the kingdom of redemption, the gospels. And now Jesus is saying, I want more than that. That's why it seems as if everything's falling apart, but in reality, it's not. God is getting everything in order. The panic that's all around, there's no panic in the divine will because we know God wins. We know God is going to take care of everyone and everything. He has to give everyone what they want. And again, that's a terrifying thing. When we want something in the human level, it's not the divine. And that's why every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice and says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This new and divine way of holiness, the sharing in divinity, is why we were created. That was the life that Adam had. So you got to go back. What was Adam's DNA like? It was in the image and likeness of God. And even though we have been redeemed, our Savior shed every drop of his blood on the cross. Our Blessed Mother shared in the sorrow and the agony of that crucifixion. The new Adam and the new Eve went through this, if you want to say, this sorrow, this suffering, so that we could enter into this kingdom of redemption. And that's what we've been learning for the last 2,000 years. So now, with this great gift of the Book of Heaven, Jesus is showing us that he says, now I want you to enter into sharing in divinity. That doesn't mean we become gods. That was the lie of Lucifer. If you eat of the fruit, you will become gods. The Lord said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit, you will die that day. And even though he died at 930 years old, it shows you that day was like 1,000 years. That 1,000 years was like a day. And so Scripture is always correct. It's more, he helps us to understand more of what God is doing. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to learn how to pray the rounds. Okay, so this Thursday, we're going to enter into fusing ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, so that when we pray this Thursday, to take our human will to heaven so that you, Jesus, will in exchange give us your divine will. It's as if this mystery of light is going to get lighter. It's going to get brighter. It's going to get, we're going to be able to see more clearly by this vow that Jesus says, make this vow on Ascension Thursday. So when we go through this prayer on Thursday, what we're going to experience is something that Jesus has been waiting for. I'm not saying it's the end all, but it's a step. Jesus says there's many acts that must be done before the divine will reigns. And I think one of the acts is what he says to Louisa. If when you make this vow of giving up your human will to die to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Die to all that is opposed to God's holy humanity. It's like the beginning. Each day, this dawn of light, this mystery of light is coming to the world. So Jesus says this through Louisa. She says, I continued my abandonment in the fiat. And that's what we want. We want nothing but what Jesus wants. We abandon ourselves to the fiat. Lord, you want this third fiat to reign on earth as it is in heaven. You want this fulfillment of the Our Father to occur. May your kingdom come on earth. This dust, breathe into this dust, heaven on earth as it is in heaven. So what the Lord is looking at is who is docile, who is surrendered, who is submissive to what Jesus gave to the apostles, the Our Father, who wants this Ruah of God, this breath of God that breathed into the dust, and out of the dust what came is the image and likeness of God, Adam. This DNA, if you want to say, of Adam, once he ate of the fruit, he died. He gave up the human will. He gave up the divine will and lived in his human will, which is misery. And Jesus says it's the enemy of the human more than anything else. So what God is asking of us is to get ready for, this is why we've been praying for 33 days, praying to breathe in, you want to say, this life. And he shows Louisa, this happens with a vow. Now a vow is, this is between you and Jesus. It's as much as you want, 30%, 60%, or 100%, whatever you want. Jesus says, I'll give to humanity. I'll give to you. So she says, my mind was lost in seeing the endlessness of the fiat. This is a glimpse of contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer goes into this more than what the saints have experienced when they explain to us contemplative prayer. Our minds are lost into this infinity of light. It's again, when you look at the Milky Way and you see that we're just a little branch on the Milky Way and our solar system is a dot in this Milky Way of the universe. We begin to see we are nothing. And what the evil one wants to prove to us or lie to us is to say that we are everything and that God is nothing. And what the divine will does is it puts things in proper order. I am nothing. God is everything. God is, he can hold the Milky Way in his hand, and we're nothing but a micro spot, a speck in the Milky Way. That's our universe. That's our solar system. So God is asking us, he says, the greatest thing that I can give to humanity is the understanding of who they are and who I am. We are creatures. God is almighty, infinite, glorious. And he's now asking that we let go of our nothingness so that he can breathe into us this life, this light, this love of God, as much as we want or as little as we want. We should want this more than anything. We should desire to have this abandonment in the fiat, in the prayer, the Our Father, so that we can participate in what God has planned. So she says, my mind was lost in seeing the endlessness of this fiat, its light that invests everything, its power that does everything. Again, we are, our experience on earth is so limited. Those that can see the beauty in creation, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, you can see the love of God in creation. But most ignore God, Jesus says. Most are, like Eve, interested into the little things of earth, rather than the glory of God, the power of God, the love of God, the life of God, the light of God. And so she says, when you abandon yourself in the fiat, this is what God is asking, that your mind gets lost in the endlessness of this light, of this life, of this love, this light that invests everything and its power that does everything. See, everything comes from the fiat of God. And this is what Jesus is teaching us with the Book of Heaven. And he's asking us to let go of even holy things to embrace the divine. When you first read that, you go, well, I'm not going to give up holy things. No, I'm striving for holy things. And Jesus says, yes, now I want you to strive for divine things, a divine reality. As St. Peter says in his epistle, we are called to be divinized. God is calling us to this image and likeness that he breathed into Adam, that Adam lost. And now with the kingdom of redemption, it's beginning again. We're starting this universal life through holy baptism. And with the Book of Heaven, we're learning day by day, this, as he says, she says, this endlessness of this light that invests everything, the power that does everything. This is God. He's asking, Luis is saying, I see this and it's overwhelming. And what God is asking of us is to embrace this. So again, this goes back to this Thursday, this Ascension Thursday. When we pray this, we begin to understand all that the saints have gone through, little by little. I like focusing on Saint Joan of Arc, an impossibility for a young girl. God did it. I mean, God backed her. She was faithful to that word that she heard, and she conquered. And this is what God is asking. He's asking us not to be afraid. Jesus keeps on saying that to Louisa, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Basically to understand that you, as Saint Joan of Arc said, were born for this time. God predestined us to live at this time, to go through what he has planned. This is much more than what the saints have gone through. The saints learned how to do the will of God. Now Jesus is teaching us how to live in the will of God through the writings that he dictated to Louisa. And then finally, to know God is with us. God is with us today. When we pray that prayer, God is with me. When we pray that prayer, God is with my family. God is with my nation. God is with us. And we, again, surrender everything so that we can participate in that. God is willing to, I mean, he's God. He's willing to breathe into us as this life of Joan of Arc was breathed. God breathed into her, and she had the power, the strength, the courage to defeat another army, lead an army and defeat an army. This is why Jesus tells Louisa, the divine will is his army. It's the divine will army. And he says, we are at war, but it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love. God is going to win. And he's asking us to listen to his command and begin to live this abundant life. The life is the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what they breathe into Louisa. Now God is expecting, he says, I've given you the Book of Heaven. Now you have a duty and responsibility to me, Jesus says, to God. And what that duty and responsibility is to listen to him. That's why I like reading the calendar, because every day God is giving us more of this instruction, more of this lesson of how to live this life. It goes beyond what God taught the saints. Because as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of the Revelation, she says, time has now come to an end. It's now the end of the era of the evil one. This new era is coming upon the earth. A new and divine way of holiness is coming upon earth, as John Paul II prophesied. So here, Jesus says to us through Louisa, and again, this is where we are as well. My poor and little mind wanted to take many things from the endless light and endless sea, but my mind could take nothing but a few drops. See, this being absorbed into God is what we see with the drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day at Holy Mass. We're that drop of nothing. And what can, compared to that cup filled with wine, what is the drop? It's nothing. And that symbolizes us and our understanding of what God is doing. So here she says, she's in this endlessness of light. It's power that does everything. And what does she say? She says, it's wisdom and order that disposes everything. And she says, my poor little mind, I wanted to take from this endless light, this ocean of love, of life, but I could take nothing but a few drops. This is what happens when we begin to read. It's like the round book. You know, when you begin the round book, it's really beautiful. But as you enter into it, God keeps on expanding our capacity to give us what we're longing for. This love, this light, this life of God. And as we read, each day that we read, he just opens the door a little wider. And we begin to see and comprehend our nothingness, first of all, and how great, how glorious, how magnificent our God is. And he's asking us to trust him. And that's why the final devotion that he gave to the church, he said to St. Faustina, before I return, is Jesus, I trust in you. Divine mercy, I trust in you. You're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my all. I trust in you. You're everything. I can't live without you. This is why we go to Holy Mass, so that we can participate in God, receive him in Holy Communion. And for that 15 minutes, we're adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. We are participating this Holy Communion with all our brothers and sisters throughout the world, past, present, and future. Jesus is allowing us to go through this so that we can get everyone ready when that great miracle happens, that the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. When that great miracle happens, everyone will have the opportunity to say yes to God, to the confusion and misery of the evil one. God has got everything planned. God wins. And he's asking us to be part of his army. And if you think of an army isn't the nation. It's a few of, you know, courageous and brave souls who will defend the rest. And that's what we're doing. This army of the divine will, this banner of the fiat is part of who we are. This is why we were created. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be, you know, nervous about. It's to say, this is why I was created. This is why I was born. When you look at Joan of Arc, that's what she did. She says, I have to obey. This is what God has shown me. I have to lead this army into battle. But Jesus says it's an army of love. So when we read the divine will, it's all about love. And when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, that's what the divine will is all about. And it's to die to our ego and our will, to this is what this vow is for Thursday, to vow, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to enter into this abundant light, life, and love of God, to allow God to reign in me the way he wants, not the way I want. And this total surrender, this total docility, this total submission is the life of Our Lady. This is what she did. Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. This is what God is waiting for. So in a similar way, our poor and little mind wants to enter into this life, this love of God, this gift of the divine will from the endless light and sea. But we can take nothing but a few drops each day. And Jesus says why this is important. It's little by little he does this. The more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, we're making a baby steps, if you want to say, to embrace, to breathe in this breath of God, this Ruah of God. And Jesus says, I could breathe into Adam as much as I want. The dust was all over the place. He says, but you're already formed, so I can't expand your capacity, but little by little. So if we want to gain weight, we eat more and more, a little bit more each day, and you gain weight. Okay. In a different way, Jesus says, you're like a balloon that he's expanding. It's puff by puff. He says, word by word that you read, that you study, that you put into practice. So that's why I'm saying it, with this, the round book, the kingdom, every day God has expanded our capacity to understand what? The love, the light, the life of God. This new and divine way of holiness. And he's not going to destroy who we are. It's docility and surrender and submission to what God wants. And each day as we read, he expands. And again, tomorrow, on Thursday, when we pray the rounds, when we pray the vow, the rounds become more powerful to us. The rounds become our life. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Mary prayed. This is why they were silent. You didn't hear anything from them, why they were absorbed in prayer. They were entering into this abundant life and light and light love of God while on earth. This was heaven, Jesus says, for him and his mother. And now this life of Jesus and Mary that's been breathed into Louisa is now given to anyone who wants it. And it's little by little. It's not you just read it. People call and they go, I understand the divine will now. I said, well, how do you understand it? And they say, well, in volume 7, Jesus says dot, 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 dot. And I said, okay, that's volume 7. That's how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. It's different than volume 17. It's different than volume 27. It's an expansion. It's just the beginning of what God is doing. So when we read 1 through 10 to become a divine mirror of Jesus, it's beautiful. When we read 11 through 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's beautiful. When we read volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, it's beautiful. And what God is doing is he's showing us how he wants to give us this gift, how he is going to do this with our cooperation. So our cooperation is to experience the life of Jesus and Mary. They were silent for 30 years. Our Lady, more than that. Jesus spoke basically 3 years and they crucified him. He gave the kingdom of redemption to his apostles. And that's what we've been learning for the last 2,000 years. This new and divine way of holiness is now at our doorstep. And God is going to breathe this into us, he says, as he breathed it into Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness, again, look at the earth, look at the church, look at the world, look at your family, look at your neighbors. We are in need of this new and divine way of holiness. And God is going to do this. That's why we were predestined to live at this time. And I think this vow for those who want it, is going to be really astonishing. It's going to be really astonishing because he's finding the soldiers, his Marines, if you want to say yes, so that God can now form us into his army that's going to conquer the world. God is going to do this. So he says, my poor little mind wanted to take many things from the endless light, Louisa says this, of the sea, but it could take only a few drops. And what is more, with terms that were not human, but divine, that my little capacity is unable to reduce into words. Okay, we talked about contemplative prayer. What God is going to do is right here when we enter into this gift. With terms that are not human, this is how God is describing this to us. The way I understand it is that when Jesus speaks to us, he really takes us to heaven and he explains this from a divine reality of what he's doing, and then brings us back with like a divine anesthesia. And we're happy, but there's no words to describe why we're happy. It's like he speaks to us with terms that are not human. That's the divine will. These are divine terms, divine light, divine life. And our little capacity, our pea brains, basically, are unable to reduce what Jesus has taught us into words. A lot of people, you know, say they get into the divine will and they say to everybody, you got to read the divine will. And they go, what's it about? And you go, there's no words to put on it. It's so beautiful that the way to understand it is for you to read it. The way to enter into this is to read it and to be absorbed, be that drop of water that enters the cup filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to allow him to transmute us. Now, transmutation is different than transformation. The saints were called to be transformed, but we're called, Jesus says, to be transmuted. And when you look up the word transmutation, it's this element, that's us, is changed inside and out. Our interior changes and our exterior changes. Your prayer life changes as well as your outside life changes. Little by little, this is what God is doing. This prayer life that changes you, it's very difficult to put into words, human words, because it's divine. It's a divine reality. You experience it though. And, when you read, when you study, when you put this into practice, you go, that this is better. This is more important than what I read with all the other saints combined. Why? It's Jesus that's speaking. And he is the word. These words that he speaks, he says to Louisa, each word that I as God speak, Jesus says, is a divine life, infinite. It's a divine life. And as we read that word, study that word that he gives to Louisa, that Louisa puts down on paper for our benefit, as we read it and then read it the next day, it's brand new. And then read it the next day, it's brand new. He keeps on expanding our capacity to understand. And everybody who has read all 36 volumes and then starts reading it again, they go, never read this before. Why? He keeps on showing, okay, now that's step one. Let's go to step two. And then when you read again, let's go to step three. Every time you read, he keeps on expanding our capacity. This is the mystery of the dawn of a mystery. It's slowly but surely this light, this life, this love of God is being breathed onto the world. This breath of God, this rule of God. And we're breathing it in. And this is why Jesus asks us to be happy. He says, the sadness of the human will can't live in the divine will. There's no sadness with the divine will. It's joy. Jesus says, I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. It's a new and divine way of holiness every day that you read. Every day that you read, there's something more beautiful that you never even thought of before. And to try to explain it, these are with a divine reality with human terms. It's very, very difficult. But Jesus is saying, dive into this infinite ocean. And he says, drown. I want you to be so part of this love of God that I never want you to leave. Drowned in it. Be absorbed in it. So the terms that Jesus tells us in the book of heaven are not human. Everything that the saints taught us were done in a holy, saintly way. And we can understand that because it was human terms. I mean, when you get to contemplation, sometimes you can't explain that. But God is saying, I want you to be so absorbed into who he is that you'll never leave again. We never want to leave again. She says that her human capacity was not unable to reduce this understanding into human words. She says, but while I was immersed in this ocean of light, this sea of light, my beloved Jesus, making himself seen within that light, told me. Okay, so here, this life of God, this light of God, this love of God, we are going to experience. The illumination of conscience is part of this. The illumination of conscience is to begin to get a glimpse of the magnificence of God, the beauty of God, the love of God, and where we are. I really believe if you want to know what the illumination of conscience is, if you want to get ready for the illumination of conscience, read the Book of Heaven. It's going to help you get ready for what God is going to do. You're going to be in awe with the illumination of conscience. And the words that Jesus speaks to Louisa, as we read them, as we study them, as we put them into practice, expands our capacity from the human to the divine. And there's no words to describe it. There's no human words to describe it. So she says, while I was immersed in this ocean of light, my beloved Jesus, making himself seen within that divine light, told me, my daughter, my divine will is light. You see why the saints had a nimbus of light around their head, a halo of light. With Louisa, it's emanating from her whole being. Why? That's the true life of Jesus. When we see Jesus, he's radiant in light. When we see the Blessed Mother, she's radiant in light. And my divine will is light. And God is asking us to enter into this light, this life, this love of God. And the prerogative and the virtue of its light is to empty of every passion the soul who lets herself be dominated by her passions. No more worry, no more fear, no anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. The divine will, the light of the divine will, has the virtue of emptying of the self of every passion, every misery. And for the souls who are dominated by it, that's why we go to confession each day, each week. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. Our passions, we're dominated by our passions. We have been redeemed, but we haven't been sanctified. And what the divine will is sanctification. It's a new and divine way of holiness that our God is calling us to live. This is why if you're going to confession and it's part of your Catholic life, I mean, not just once a year, but at least once a month, what happens at that point is you're saying, this is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to be freed of these passions that dominate me. And God goes, good. This is the beginning of understanding what God is going to do, sanctification. And Jesus says, in fact, its light places itself within the soul as their center of their life. So what we say to Jesus is, my heart is my center. And Lord, I want your throne to be my heart. So this is part of the vow. We're saying to the Lord, I want you as my center. I want the divine will as my center. I don't want my passions to be the center of my life anymore. With its heat and vivifying light, Jesus says, it gets rid of any human weight, any human misery, and vivifies and converts everything into seed of light, seed of light. It's going to begin little by little, forming the new life in the soul with no seed of evil. This new life in the soul, Jesus says, is all pure and all holy as Adam came out of our creative hands, as Jesus has created us to be pure and holy, a new and divine way of holiness, a new life within the soul with no seed of evil. You see what God is doing? This Thursday is going to be the beginning. It's the seed. This is what the vow is. I want to plant the seed in my soul. Plant this seed in my soul. I want the seed of light. I want to form a new life in my soul. I want no seed of evil anymore. I want to become all pure, all holy, as Adam came out of our creative hands, Jesus says. I want the image and likeness of God in me again. I don't want to be away from God in any way, shape, or form. In such a way that this fortunate soul cannot fear that she may do harm to anyone, not to God or neighbor. They see, how many times we got, we're walking on thin ice here. You know, I got to be careful what I say to this soul. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I'd want to do any harm. We've done enough harm to people. We've done enough harm to our God. We've done enough harm to our Lady. We've done enough harm to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. And Jesus says, this new life, this light, there's going to be no more fear that you will harm God or anyone. We'll be one with our family, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and with God most especially. So Jesus says, in fact, true light does no harm to no one. True light does harm to no one. On the contrary, true light brings to all the good that Jesus says, my vivifying life contains. True light, we're going to enter into the darkness is not going to be around us anymore. This is what the divine will is all about. It's about sanctification. It's about glorification, glorification of God and humanity. It's to bring back humanity to where God wanted it from the beginning. Nor can the soul fear that she might receive any harm, because true light is untouchable by even the shadow of evil, Jesus says. Untouchable by even the shadow of evil. Untouchable by the shadow of evil. Therefore, the soul has nothing left to do but to enjoy her fortune and to spread to everyone the light that the soul possesses. You know, you want the best for your family. You want the best for your children. The best is to give God to them. The best is to give this light to them. The best is to live this universal life. Image and likeness. That's why we were created, to give to all our brothers and sisters this light, this love, this life of God. And he asks us to be part of his army. He asks us to make this pledge, this vow. We're going to do it, and we're going to put everything in God's hands and watch what he's going to do in us, with us, through us. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.